scripture comes from Luke chapter 9. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his own?"
Some of you know this, so we'd like for you to sing it with us. I'd like for us to look at the scripture passage that we have before us. One of the great invitations in the Bible. Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me," and I especially want us to focus on that one verse there in Luke 9:23. "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We're called to walk with Jesus in the shadow of the cross. That's the title of one of our songs in the Easter musical that we're going to be doing in, I don't know exactly the number of days, but about 8 weeks. The Easter Sunday morning is April 8th this year. I've been thinking about wanting to share with you what it means to walk with Jesus on that way of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, as it were. I love the words of that hymn that speak of the shadow of the cross as a mighty rock in a weary land. And we live in a desert area, and it's not hot out there now, but at some point, maybe about August, it'll get hot again, maybe. I've heard that you don't know what to expect. If it can snow on the 4th of July, I guess it can do about anything, any time of the year. But you know what it is to feel that heat of the sun and how it feels so good to come into the shade. Well, that shadow of the cross, if you will, is that shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. We need the cross. We need it each day of our life. We need to think seriously about what Jesus said when he said that we are to take up our crosses daily and follow him. There's an invitation here in these words of Jesus. If any man, he said, or any person, this says if anyone would come to me after me, let him deny himself or herself. Remember, this isn't speaking to one gender. It's speaking to all. If anyone, young, old, in between, male, female, anyone that hears his voice, He said, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. There's an invitation here. And I believe that it's a great privilege to walk with Jesus on that way to the cross. I know it's not pleasant sometimes. It requires humbling of ourselves to walk in that way. But I think of what Paul said when he said that I want to know him, he said. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But then he said something kind of mysterious, kind of goes against the grain of the way we think. He said, and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. I don't believe that you can really know Jesus Christ until you've experienced the fellowship of his sufferings. And there's a joy that comes as you realize that as you suffer with Jesus, you know him in a way that you never knew him before. You feel his comfort. You feel his presence. You know, I wish that we always had sunny days like we've had. Now, they've been sunny, but they've been cold. But I wish we never had to experience trial. That's the point in our lives. And I think all of you know what trials are. I can just look and see many of you have those trials, those troubles in your life, those things, those thorns in the flesh that you wish you didn't have. But realize that that is what brings us closer to Jesus, because we experience the fellowship of his sufferings. I know we think, well, you know, we're Christians, so we shouldn't have to suffer. But the reason why we suffer is that we might get to know Jesus better, and that we might experience his comfort and his strength in our lives. So it's a willful invitation, or a willful response that we must make to that invitation. It's a wonderful invitation. There are many wonderful invitations that Jesus gives in the Bible. In fact, the Bible is full of invitations. At the very last, almost the very last verse of the very last chapter, Jesus said, if anyone is athirst, let him come. And I believe it calls to our mind Jesus sitting at the well in Samaria. And along came this woman that was a woman, we would say, a very questionable character. She had had many husbands and many men that she had lived with. But she had an inner thirst that was not satisfied by her lifestyle. And Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You'll never thirst again if you'll come to Jesus. He will satisfy that inner thirst that only he can satisfy. And that is, it's worshipful, that invitation, or that response, our response to that invitation. I think that's really what worship is. Now, we may think of worship as just singing songs and just having that attitude of worship, but worship is kind of like love. Love is something you do more than something you feel. If you love someone, you're going to show a care for them. You're going to forgive them when they inevitably sin against you, or they need lifted up. You're ready to lift them up. That's what worship is. Worship is doing what Jesus said we should do. He said, come. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I believe that that's worship. So there's an invitation here. There's also, or rather, there's an invitation, come. But there's a stipulation, deny. A stipulation that we must deny, not Christ, but deny ourselves. There's a self denied here in these words of Jesus. Let's listen to them again. He said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Why didn't he put it the other way around? Well, I don't think you can take up your cross daily until you've humbled yourself, until you've denied yourself. Now, that goes against everything that we're taught. That goes against the American Idol syndrome, which, you know, a show that we all probably like to see. But, you know, this whole kind of idolizing of self, idolizing of people, we'll never get to know Jesus if we're into that idolatry, self-idolatry even. So we must deny ourselves, Jesus said. But the Bible has many things to say about that. It says if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. And we have a little song that we sing called It's You. And it's really about Jesus, isn't it? And about forgetting ourselves. I know some of you have had flu bugs or viruses and colds and so forth. It's the season of the year for that. Others have had other kinds of infirmities, and we've had sorrow in the church family, different kinds of trials. But if we will just realize how wonderful Jesus is and worship him and come to him and deny ourselves, as he said, and take up our crosses daily, we'll experience the joy of fellowship with him. It may be joy with tears coming down our face, but we'll know him. We'll have fellowship with him, as Paul spoke of, the fellowship of his suffering. So there's a self-denial. There's a service applied here. I don't think when Jesus said to take up our crosses daily and follow him, that he necessarily meant that we're to go fashion a cross and carry it across the country. Arthur Blessed has done that, if you're familiar with Arthur Blessed's ministry, and I think it's a great thing because it's given him an opportunity to preach about the cross everywhere he's gone. But I think primarily Jesus was talking about service, about doing as Jesus did. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And his whole life was a picture of service. When he, before his death, he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. Now, we may not think that we need to literally wash one another's feet, but and maybe that might not be too pleasant for some of us. You know, I was in the... we've had this kind of odor in the car lately, and I've complained about it, and I must have complained for a couple months about it. And Marlene said, oh, I don't smell anything in there. Well, you know what it was? It was an old pair of shoes that I wore. And you know, in the wintertime, the heat comes in. So apparently that was the source of the odor. Well, we may not want to literally wash one another's feet. I think spiritually and in just in the idea of serving one another, doing those things that maybe are thankless and sometimes unpleasant, in caring for one another, ministering to one another. Once a month we go to the nursing home, and I think that Pat and others would agree that we're blessed more than just by going there than we probably are a blessing to the people there. I mean, it's just a blessing to be able to serve others in Jesus' name. That's just one way that you can serve. But there are many in the jails. Brother Curtis and Brother Ed go to the city jail, the county jail, once a week. And they minister to men in the jail. Well, you don't have to have you don't have to be nominated by the nominating committee. You don't have to have someone tell you that, you know, we'd like you to do this or you know, to put you on the payroll even. I know we might like that. But there are many ways that we need to serve one another. And I believe that's how we take up our crosses and follow Jesus. That's service applied. It's a Savior glorified when we do that. Many have written in hymns and songs about lifting high the cross. One phrase I love is, the cross is towering over the wrecks of time. Yes, we ought to lift the symbol of the cross, but more than that, I believe we need to lift up the Savior who died on that cross. And it glorifies Him when we take up our crosses and follow Him. Then there's take, an elevation. Take. He said, didn't Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me? Take up. Let's see. My Bible says, take up. Take up. That word, take up, is a word, it's actually similar to our word airplane. Airplane. Well, airplane is really a corruption of the original word, which is aeroplane. An aeroplane means to lift up, a plane that's lifted up. Well, that's what we are to do with the cross. We are to take it up. We are to elevate it. I think it means to carry it, but I think it also means to lift it up. We're to magnify the cross. Jesus did that. He said, now is the time, do you remember, before his death, when the Son of Man should be glorified. And he talked about being lifted up on the cross as his glorification. That's where Jesus is glorified. He's lifted up when we talk about the cross, talk about how Jesus came to die on that old rugged cross for our sins. He came to take our penalty. We deserve to be on that cross. That's how terrible our sins were. Now, I know we all probably think our sins aren't as bad as someone else's. But I think if you have come to know Jesus, as Paul came to know Jesus, you'll say like Paul, I am the chief of sinners. Because I realized that it was my sins that placed Jesus on that cross. So take an elevation. Whose cross is that? Well, obviously, we think it's Jesus. But here he says, take up his cross. In other words, he seems to be saying, doesn't he, that this is our cross, not his cross. And I think that's important because we can't die on the cross for someone else's sins. We're not good enough. Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. But we can take up that cross and of service for Jesus and lift high his cross. Follow after him. So it's our cross. It's a cross. It's a real cross. Now, I know we talk about infirmities as crosses. We have this cross to bear, we call it. But the cross that I believe Jesus is talking about is a cross that we willingly take up. It's not a cross that we just find forced upon us. That's what the Bible calls tribulation. And Jesus said in this world we would have it. I mean, is there anyone here who has not had any troubles or tribulations in life? Anyone? Even the young ones, Celeste, you've had some troubles, haven't you? Yeah. I mean, from the time we're born, most of us came out crying. And then some came out crying louder than others. Because it hurts. Our mothers, of course, went through travail to bring us into this world. So it's a world of of tribulation. So I think this cross, don't you, that Jesus is talking about is one that we take up willingly. Like Paul, who said, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And we are to take it up daily. Daily, not weekly, not monthly, not once a year, but daily. I think because our human nature tends to shrink from it. And so every day we need to start the day with the attitude, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you better. And whatever it takes, I want you to use me today. I want to serve you. I want to serve you by serving others. I want to have a servant attitude like you had when you said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And then we are to follow. Again, these are imperatives that call us to that life of walking in the shadow of the cross. We're to follow. Here Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that's an emulation, or if you would prefer, an imitation. We follow Jesus. He is our pattern. He is our example. He is the Savior that we follow. And then the Bible says that we are to walk in his steps. You say, well, I don't really know what that means. Well, read the Gospels and read them with a prayer. Lord Jesus, help me to know what it means to walk in your steps. Help me to walk with you and help me to learn to know you and to be able to think like you think. And then it's service. Again, I think of that night that Jesus could have been preoccupied with his death, and I think he certainly was thinking of his death. But he was thinking more of those that he would have to leave behind in this world, this wicked world, this world that had so many allurements, so many temptations to drift away. And so his thoughts were of his disciples. Now, this motley crew of, I don't know where Jesus got some of these people, like Peter. I mean, if we were on the nominating committee for the discipleship committee back when Jesus was calling disciples, I'm sure we would have nominated none of them. Probably not one. Maybe John. Now, John was a disciple of John the Baptist, Andrew. But the rest, I mean, there was nothing that we would say would commend themselves to us as far as nominating them to be one of Jesus' disciples. Well, that's what grace is. And Jesus calls us to walk with him in that way of grace and serving others as Jesus did. As he got down and he washed his disciples' feet, you may remember that Peter objected and he said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, I think what he meant was that that's too demeaning of you. That's too demeaning of you to get down and wash my dirty feet. And you may remember that was the same disciple who objected when Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, began to talk about his death. And he said, Lord, this shall not be. You're the Lord. You're the Messiah. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for you to die on a cross in shame and agony, well, that's unimaginable. But see, he had not learned yet that was the purpose for Jesus in coming. And that's why Jesus calls us to be like him here, to be Jesus to our neighbors, to our family members, to everyone that we meet along the way.